the Healing Through Love podcast with Charlene Lynch and Rose Davidson. In episode 142, learn to recognise early red flags of abuse and protect yourself with insights from Dana Nygaard.
So I think you make a really good point there. Everything looks nice on the outside because often there we all put on our best face, right? When you're first meeting someone, okay? We don't talk about, I have a habit of this or that. However, they go to an extreme. And so often one of the warning signs is when a man tries to wrap the relationship up very quickly. So you're on the second date, you're cutting across something to maybe go to a movie, there's a jewelry store. And he points to the window and he says, which ring do you like? They're all wedding rings. Like, why is he saying that this quickly? This is not like it's right before World War II when people have these whirlwind romances and we're married for 50, 60 years happily. Why is the man trying to do that? I think it's because the facade, they're trying to keep it going with all the smoke and mirrors so that you believe they're a bunch of.
Welcome to another episode of Healing Through Love. Each week, we share ideas, experiences, and resources to increase the awareness of domestic and family violence and to empower survivors to grow and thrive. We talk with experts who share their advice or with people who have experienced abuse, no matter where they are on their journey. This is all about healing through love. And now, here are your hosts, Charlene Lynch and Rose Davidson.
Hello and welcome to the Healing Through Love podcast, a space where stories of strength, resilience, and transformation unfold. I'm your host, Charlene Lynch, and I'm honored to be your guide for this journey of empowerment and healing. Today, we have a very special episode that's tailored just for you, whether you're driving the car or sipping a cup of tea or simply taking a moment to yourself. I want you to know that you're in a safe place. Healing Through Love is more than a podcast. It's a community, a beacon of hope, and a reminder that you are not alone. In this episode, we have a guest who'll share a story that resonates at the core of our mission, a story that illuminates the power of love, resilience, and unwavering strength that lies within each and every one of us. So settle in, take a deep breath, and let the healing begin. But before we dive into today's inspiring narrative, a quick reminder that if you value, if you find value in today's episode, please consider supporting us by subscribing, sharing, and leaving a review. Your engagement helps us, and it helps us reach the hearts and spread the message of healing at the speed of love. Today, we have a very special guest, and she's here today to talk about Catholic women who are driven by insecurity, who settle for men who don't value them, only to suffer in silence in a loveless or downright abusive marriage. Dana Nygaard is a renowned psychotherapist, a relationship coach, author, and national speaker who teaches single Catholic women how to date intentionally. I love this. Nayla, how did you get here, Diana? How did you get here to talk about this subject of conscious dating?
Thank you. I love the way you describe it. I love conscious dating. Well, in my private practice, great job, I have so many women that would come to me and tell me about the man they were dating, and they would list off these nice qualities, and I'd be like, that's lovely. And then they would eventually get to some not so nice qualities, and they would say, I was late, I'm never late, there was traffic, and he screamed at me for 30 minutes. Or I dropped something and he called me a vulgar name. Or he got angry at me and he grabbed my arm and shoved me up against a wall. And when I would point out, well, that's emotionally abusive and physically abusive behavior on the part of this man, they would get very embarrassed. They would drop their head. They wouldn't look at me. It was like they all had read the same script someplace. They would say, I'm so embarrassed. He's a really good guy. And I've mischaracterized him. And I'm like, that's not how really great guys act. And so I wanted to take what I was doing in my office with these women and expand it so I could actually go internationally helping women, because I'm only licensed as a psychotherapist in the state of Texas.
Oh, everything's bigger in Texas. I love it.
It is.
It is. It's beautiful. Okay, one of my favorite places to visit. So, as a psychotherapist, you are having conversations with women about basically their own self-worth, then, really, isn't it? About how they value themselves, and then what is that line in the sand that shouldn't be crossed? Yes, and sometimes it's too late. We're already married to that person. So, look,
Yes.
talk to us if you're in a situation and now your level of awareness has risen and you realize, okay, there's something not okay here. Where can we begin this journey of moving forward more intentionally?
Well, if you're already in that situation and it's not just an easy, I'm going to break up with a guy I've dated for 3 months, right? You have a mortgage, you may have kids, pets, the whole thing. Part of it is that you most likely have been isolated. Because when you're isolated, you don't have anyone to turn to and say, hey, mom, sis, neighbor, this is what just happened. Is this weird? Because he's telling me it's normal, right? So part of it would be to reach out to a clergy person, reach out to a friend, a neighbor, a domestic violence shelter to start getting support because you're not going to get it from the person abusing you.
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, it starts with a level of awareness. So noticing, because if you don't even notice there's something wrong and you've been hoodwinked to believe that this is normal behavior, you're not even going to do anything. So first of all, it starts with that level of awareness. And then
Yes.
is the reaching out to have conversations with other people. Now, as a survivor myself, we were a little isolated. And that's part of the whole cohesive control is managing who it is that you're in contact with and convincing you, I suppose, gaslighting, convincing you that this is completely normal. So, if you are listening today and you don't have someone that you can reach out to, there are lots of organizations, both here in Australia and also in the States, that can have these conversations with you. All right, so say now we're at that stage where we've had awareness, we've had a conversation. What's the next thing that we could do to move forward?
Well, part of it is to start noticing things like controlling behavior, because there may have been a period of time, maybe years even, where, as we said a moment ago, you took that behavior to be normal. So a lot of times the controlling behavior starts off and it's very subtle, and it may be framed in a way where it's a concern or I'm just being practical. And they'll say things like, I'm just trying to make things easier for you. By telling you how to change the baby's diaper, how to cook macaroni and cheese. Like, I don't need your help doing that. And then it escalates over time, and they're just making decisions without you. So at that point, you need to stop being so compliant. Now, if it's a very dangerous situation, you don't need to do any of that. You just need to get away and be safe someplace. But to start pushing back, and what I always tell my clients is, whenever you set a boundary, people who you have to set a boundary with, that's why you're having to do it. So they're not going to respect you, right? The only way you can make them accountable is when you have some sort of leverage, right? So quit obeying everything. I know I did that in the past when before I married my sweet husband, David. I was in a very, very abusive marriage. And one day I just thought, he's angry no matter what I do. So why should I keep doing exactly what he's telling me to do? I'm no longer going to do those things. And it was interesting watching him, try to enlarge himself to get more intense and more intimidating. So I would go back to that homeostasis. But once something breaks in a woman, it's going to break, and you then can't unsee what you've seen.
Okay, and that's that level of awareness too. I love that. Okay. So you're the women that you're working with predominantly are women who are single and now want to have a new relationship, but they want to have a relationship that fits themselves on a spiritual level, but also fits them a match for who it is that they are now to move forward. So, can we have a conversation from a singles perspective? What are the things that you would work with? How would you work with a client from a single perspective to make sure that they've got the right match to move forward?
Is to notice the red flags, because what often happens is the women will downplay something. So they'll see it often, not always, but often they'll see it and they'll tell themselves, like, shove that down. Oh, he's had a rough day. He came from a really tough childhood. Well, a lot of people came from really tough childhoods, me one of them, and didn't turn out to be an abuser. So I think if it's something like that, control is able to say to them, well, I appreciate your input, but I'd like to decide for myself. And I actually have a tip I'd love to pass on to test a man very, very early in the relationship. So let's say you have a date set, all right? First date, second date, doesn't matter. And you've agreed you're meeting at 7 at a particular restaurant, and it's going to be Italian food. All right. So I would actually eat Italian food for lunch because then you're not lying. And I would say, hey, wound up having Italian food for lunch. There's a, another restaurant next door. Could we go there instead? Barbecue, whatever. I'm thinking American food here, definitely Texas food, barbecue. And a man who really wants to see that woman and really wants to pursue her, he doesn't care if she wants to eat at the local gas station. He'll say yes, wherever you want. But a controlling man will get angry. So it's a great test early on before you're even invested.
I love it. I love it. I think of my beautiful husband, and I got married late in life. So I'm 58 now. We got married 2023. So not long. It took me a long time to
Beautiful.
find the right man. And yeah, in hindsight, comparison to like he goes, yep, whatever works. Yes, and though previous partners, they've been controlling from where it is we eat, how much we spend, what it is that we do. So yeah, on every level, I love this. Okay, so you mentioned red flags, and you mentioned it, like testing the water really early in on the piece of where to go. What other things can we look at to help us make the right decisions that this is the right person? Because I did notice when I was in these relationships is that from the outside, everything looked really too amazing. And then it wasn't until involved in the relationship that I realized, and it's a bit too late now to do something. So tell us a little bit more about that.
So I think you make a really good point there. Everything looks nice on the outside because often there we all put on our best face, right? When you're first meeting someone, okay? We don't talk about I have a habit of this or that. However, they go to an extreme, and so often one of the warning signs is when a man tries to wrap the relationship up very quickly. So you're on the second date, you're cutting across something to maybe go to a movie, there's a jewelry store. And he points to the window and he says, "Which ring do you like?" They're all wedding rings. Like, why is he saying that this quickly? This is not like it's right before World War II when people have these whirlwind romances and we're married for 50, 60 years happily. Why is the man trying to do that? I think it's because the facade, they're trying to keep it going with all the smoke and mirrors so that you believe they're a bunch of bull. And that even happens in the Catholic faith, which is very sad because you're going to find manipulative people in every industry and every religion, right? There's just a certain percentage, at least 5, but probably closer to 10% of the people. And they will do enough and say enough things that sound Catholic. Let's go to Mass. I prayed a novena for your sick mother. And the woman will think, oh, look, he's Mr. Catholic. I found the right guy. No, because if you dated him longer, you would soon see his life does not match up with what he says he does. He talks the talk, but he doesn't walk the walk. So I think it's important to keep a journal, come home from a date, and write down what the experience was like. He said, order anything on the menu. Oh, I was so excited. I ordered lobster. But then he was really rude to the server. He was very patronizing to the people who sat next to us. Jot that stuff down because when you can see it in black and white, it's easier to back away.
I love this. Okay, so you're dating someone and it's very early in on the piece, and there's different levels of faith. Let's face
Yeah.
it. Like sometimes it's just like a book cover, and from the outside looking in, you do. And I love this doing an analysis at the end of each of the dates to sort of see if, what levels of congruency there. But when you're looking at a longer term relationship, and if you're a faith-based person, what are some sort of questions, or what are some of sort of the things that you can do to see the depth of their faith?
Well, I think if you're dating longer, it's to ask them, like, what does this mean to you? Like, what does God mean to you? How do you describe God? And if they can't, I don't mean they need to be a theologian, but if they can't, then something's off if they're telling you they're Mr. or Mrs. Baptist or, whatever, their thing is. So I think that's one thing. And then I would also ask, how do you live out your faith? It should just tumble out of their mouth. I do all these different things. These are my morning prayers, my evening prayers. I donate money here. I volunteer here. But if they're like, well, hang on, let me think, then they may not be at the same level. And in scripture, it says that we're not supposed to be unequally yoked. So I don't care if you're Jewish, Muslim, whatever, like you need someone that's on the same page as you so that you're not like the woman shouldn't be, in my opinion. And many theologians' opinion is running the faith of the family because most women get very tired of that. They want their men to protect them, to provide for them, and they also want that spiritually.
Okay, so it sounds like working with you is about diving in deep to have a better understanding of who you are, the values that it is that you want to have and the foundation that you want moving forward, and then how to test and measure this when you're dating as a single woman to make sure that they're a good match for you to move forward. Yeah?
Exactly, you nailed it.
Yeah, oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. All of these things are true. And you're right, it doesn't matter which faith you're of, but what we're saying is that for a more congenial experience, for a more
Yes.
flowing experience, it would be advantageous that you are on the same journey at least. So, but I do, in saying that though, I do know some Christians who are married to Buddhists and vice versa and other variations, and they are. It works, but I can see that if you want ease and grace, it's easier for the dinner table to be on the same page. I love it. And I love this under having an understanding of where they are in their journey because there are different levels, depths, if you will, of
Sure.
spiritual journeys and the levels of curiosity as well. So even if you're listening today and you're at the very beginning of your curiosity on whatever faith you're following, then you want to find someone who's equally curious about the same faith to move forward. I love it. All right. So now when you work with people, do you work in person or do you work online? Because you're from Texas. So how does that work? Is it in person or online?
Well, for counseling, it's in person or online, but it has to be that they reside in the state of Texas. Even if they go on vacation, they need to be in Texas in order for me to have a counseling session. That's the ethics of my profession as a licensed professional counselor. Now, with the coaching, I have an online community, which I love it because then I can bring people in nationally and internationally, which I think is very exciting because women are women across the globe. They all want true, deep, abiding love, and they want to be safe.
I love it. I love it. So, if you had to give like the number one thing for people to move, well, for women to move forward, what would be the number one thing, the number one piece of advice that you would give people?
I think the number one sign that you are headed towards an abusive relationship, because it maybe it's brand new, is unwarranted jealousy. That's what the research shows. So if you were sitting on some guy's lap and he's groping you, of course the average man is going to say, what the heck was just happening there? And he should probably not date that woman anymore, right? But when they're saying, why were you at the grocery store for 20 minutes? I thought you were just getting milk. Well, I got milk. I remembered a few other things. I ran into my neighbor Sandy. We visited a little bit. Who are you talking to? Or they like the way you dressed until now you're their woman. Suddenly, why are you wearing that? What do you mean? I've had this for years. I've worn it on dates with you. Yeah, but who are you trying to attract? You wore it with me to attract me. That is not something, because I've had women say to me, oh my gosh, it's so flattering. He cares that much about me. Girl, no. He is showing that he thinks he owns you and you're his possession. We are to use objects, not people in our lives.
Oh, it's so powerful. I love it. And it's so true. I think back to some of the relationships that I've had previously, and what was okay to wear before we were dating is not okay to wear after. But in saying that, my amazing husband thinks that the most inappropriate things are still okay to wear to church. And that's okay. I love him. And he just says, if you've got it, baby, just flaunt it. Mandela. So I love this. So this is fascinating. So if you're listening today and you are a woman of faith and you want to know how to move forward and make better decisions for dating, please reach out to Dana in her group community if you're global, or if you're in the great state of Texas, to reach out to her specifically there, because that's where she can counsel you directly. I love this. If you're listening today and you are a survivor of family and/or domestic violence, and you're anywhere in the world, reach out to Healing Through Love, because we have amazing Pamper Days. Think day spa on steroids, where you come along, the entire thing is free. And quite frequently, we have a little op shop for you to choose things from as well. And then you have your makeup done, your hair done, you'll have a massage, you'll have your chakras aligned, whatever it is, depending on which way you're actually going. You'll have this beautiful day of a lovely indulgence, and it's free for survivors. So reach out to Healing Through Love and we'll point you in the right direction of where these beautiful events are near you. And if you're listening today and you are a practitioner, and that can be any type of practitioner that has a heart for change in the space of family and or domestic violence, reach out to us, because we're looking forward to connecting you to organizers in your area. We would love to have that conversation. Oh, now, if, as a final goodbye, what we'd love, Dana, if you could share your words of wisdom, what would be your words of wisdom to our audience today?
Okay, so an apology without change is manipulation. So if you're with a man and you point out, hey, this thing happened, I'm very uncomfortable with it, I don't like it, I felt disrespected, you scared me, whatever it is, how does he respond? Is he defensive? Does he put it back on you? I can't believe you've offended me. No, dude, you offended me. Like, right? They'll flip it on you. So they have to have change-worthy behavior. If not, when they say, I'm sorry, they're really just telling you, be quiet. I don't want to hear from you anymore, but I'm going to say whatever shuts you up in the moment. And then later, I'm just going to do what I do. So really pay attention to, as you said earlier, the congruency.
I love this. Thank you so much, Dana, for your words of wisdom. This has been a fantastic conversation with Healing Through Love and Dana. I love this. It's a goodbye from me and a goodbye from Dana.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Healing Through Love. You can get further resources, see the show notes, or simply reach out to us via our website at htlaustralia.org. Thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to your company next time on the Healing Through Love podcast.